Oh, I just love this matchup. Gatlin versus Hansen. It's going to be as good as the rugby on the field. Gatlin last night couldn't help himself.
All I've taken from it has gone, you know, maybe he's a little bit more worried than he normally is because he's normally so calm and collected, but he's seemed to be saying and delivering a lot of comments about us and about things that he knows or doesn't know about, so that's normally a sign of a man who's just a little bit worried.
Oh, there you go. That was Warren Gatland last night. So the English press, they're quoted as saying it is tour on. It's also game on as far as Gatland versus Hansen is concerned. Nige, you were there last night. He couldn't wait, could he, Warren, to get that out?
Yeah, he delivered it very calm, though, and very evenly. But what I think is quite amusing, he makes that comment after that particular game. All of Steve's comments had been made after the first four games of the tour. I think people are forgetting that context.
Yep.
But the other thing too, he talks about Steve Hansen being very calm, very collected, very measured. Well, when Steve delivered his comments, he was actually just that as well. This is pure verbal jousting. We're going to get a week, I suspect, of back and forth. It'll be fueled by members of media, both New Zealand and overseas. So it's just starting. But I think he had every right to take that shot. I don't think he could sit there and not respond to what Steve Hansen had said, even though the irony being that Steve Hansen was bang on. He has brought in reinforcement, so there you go.
Oh, I've got to say, and Kevin Putt, good afternoon to you as well, Putty. It is good fun. It does add to it, doesn't it?
Oh, look, it nearly sort of aligns with America's Cup and Spittle and all this stuff going on. It's wonderful flippin' sideline humour that's going on with it. And it makes it much, much more entertaining come game time. There's a little bit more riding on it.
Oh, exactly. Nigel, where do you think Hansen got his information from? In the words of James Spittle, does he have a leak in the Lions camp?
Look, people forget Steve Hansen did coach Wales. He's still got a lot of contacts up here in the Northern Hemisphere. He is the coach of the All Blacks, and the All Blacks, as you know, sell newspapers up north. They sell a lot of newspapers up north. So, you know, look, he will still be very connected. He will be getting his information from somewhere. He wouldn't reveal. He got questioned by Owen Slott, an outstanding journalist who was down here out of the United Kingdom. Owen basically sort of asked him. They had a little bit of to and forth about that. He's clearly getting the information from somewhere, and somewhere very close to the source.
And it's fair to say, Kevin Putt, I don't think Warren Gatland and Steve Hansen are ever going to sit down and have a beersy together.
Oh, Vici, they're not over this tour, that's for sure, but you might just be surprised. You know, individually, they're both fantastic guys, but shivers, there's a hell of a lot riding on this. And, look, there's the same tension that you see that comes into bust-ups on a field. I'd love to see the coaching box opened up and see how it goes.
Oh, it's great fun. Okay, let's get on to the match last night. This is Michael Corcoran, guys, as you know, great radio broadcaster out of Ireland. This is his take on what played out last night in relation to the first test next weekend.
What happened in Rotorua, from a British and Irish Lions point of view, if that is repeated next week, it certainly wouldn't be good enough to beat the All Blacks in Eden Park, because I think they're just at a different level completely.
All right, Kevin, I'll start with you. Your reaction, do you agree or not?
Yeah, look, I think he's fairly much on the ball with it. It was certainly an improved performance. It had a balance to what they're doing. They had their first phase a heck of a lot better. But his point's actually dead right. You know, there was not that much in the way of line break. They did offer a little bit more in terms of, I wouldn't say width on the ball, but the behind the back, just that variance that might put a bit of pressure onto our defensive patterns. But look, it's all assumption at the moment, but I still can't see that they've got enough there to threaten the All Blacks at their best, no.
Okay, Nigel, let me put this to you. Can the Lions do what they did last night in the second half, which was scrummage unbelievably well and strangle the life out of the All Blacks like they did with New Zealand Māori last night?
I don't think they will have the forward dominance or the scrum dominance against the All Blacks like they did, the way they did against the Māori. Can they dominate field position and really hem teams back? Yeah, they've got a good enough defensive system. They've got a good enough kicking game. I think they're making the comparisons. It's just so incredibly disappointed with the way New Zealand Māori play. It was the second night in a row for me, Tony. I was disappointed in what we got out of Manu Samoa. very disappointed over what we saw from New Zealand Māori. But, Tony, if the Lions score 32 points against the All Blacks, and you've got to remember, there was a lot of it came off the boot. If they were able to do that, they will win that first test. But there is just going to be so much more resistance. And I think that's what Corky was really alluding to, was that, yeah, you're able to dominate that. Can you get that same level of dominance over the All Black pack, which is going to be, for my mind, 10 times infinitely better prepared and more technically savvy than what we saw last night from the New Zealand Māori? So that's where I think Michael's coming from. But the Lions have that capability, but I just think the All Blacks will push back a hell of a lot harder than what we saw last night.
Kevin Putt, I talked to Joe Wheeler this morning, and he was saying to me, the word he used, they were demolished last night. Why were they so poor, do you think?
Well, I think Nye sort of knocked it on the head with the old nail there. Just the Lions were up for it, but they put a heck of a lot of team focus around the rucks and breakdowns. The Maori were playing quite individual in it. When they turned over ball, there was a lot of chipping. They gave the opportunity to get the ball back, and I thought that the Lions actually did exceptionally well by, again, limiting their attack plan, but winning every breakdown. They were just absolutely outstanding at the contact point. But Nigel has pointed out, don't think that that's going to equate to that guaranteed dominance in a week.
No.
If you dominate ruck and maul, and they dominated, they were pushing through past the gain line. They were giving Connor Murray, and then late the game, Greg Laidlaw, a great platform to be able to just make your decisions, whether I'm going to keep it going, whether I'm going to go box kick. They gave such a great platform. Tawere Kurbalo, he was having to dig in and ferret for the ball. It was slow. It allowed the British and Irish Lions to get their back line set. They were pushing up. I can't remember the ball really getting anywhere near the hands of Matt Proctor at centre at any point during his time on the field. It would either get to McKenzie, if he could get it to Charlie Nartai, they were up on him, or whoever was coming in as that second receiver. They just really stifled it. They killed it at the absolute source, and there was no flow for the Māori.
Nige, there was some talk about some of the, I guess, fringe All Black players here, the likes of Rico Ioane, maybe playing themselves into the squad. I'm not necessarily saying the first test. They didn't help themselves last night, though, did they?
Well, they didn't get a chance to really put forward a case. Rico, I think he might have dropped one high ball, took another couple. He just never saw the ball. I spoke to him after the game, you know, asked him what it was like sort of being out on the wing, watching your forward pack go through that. You know, he said he doesn't know much about the technical side of it, but there's not a heck of a lot he probably could have contributed. Kurbalo, I thought he battled away quite manfully behind a pack that was getting owned. Obviously blotted his copybook with the yellow card. And then you look at guys like, yeah, the guy, if you're going to talk about someone who maybe sort of has increased his All Black stocks a little bit, you'd probably go to Akira Ioane, who for the second time against the British and Irish Lions was just an absolute workhorse. I think he got through about 19 tackles, didn't get the opportunity to get the ball in hand much, but was constantly at the breakdown. He was more of an open sider last night. He was a lot of the time, he was the guy from the Māori All Blacks who was getting to the breakdown first, trying to get over the ball and actually jackle it. He was getting cleaned out, but he just kept picking himself up. I think he's the guy who really probably impressed probably from an All Blacks point of view.
And Nigel Yeldon, Kevin Putt with us. Putty, let's have a look at the All Blacks squad now. So Kieran Reid, we know, will come back in at number 8. Kano looked good last night, on Friday night, I should say, even though he's had bugger all rugby. Are these the only changes? Reid comes in, Crotty on the bench is covered, Geordie goes out. Is that how you see it?
Look, it is. I don't see that you tinker too much with a successful formula. I'm not talking about this, Western Samoan game. But I think that the reason they put that team in place was to get some sort of cohesion around, you know, a good physical knockout equated to a contact session, training session. That's really what the opposition gave. That was it. But I think it's a good platform now to take forward. You've got someone now like Sevier to come from the bench. I mean, I thought he was outstanding as an 8, and I think that we've got ourselves sorted out there as the potential. I think there's greater focus on the fact that an 8's legitimate role seems to be that additional open side flanker and that workhorse at the breakdown, and I thought Sevier did it exceptionally well.
Nige, any other changes you can see? Sorry, go.
Tony, can I just throw this observation at you?
Yep.
Late in the game, Ben Smith came off the field. Okay, so the captain left. Sam Whitelock wasn't on the field either. And so they said, you know, everyone goes, well, I wonder who's going to be the captain. Up in commentary, and we didn't have access, I guess, to being able to be down sideline. I just naturally assumed it was Sam Kane. It was Brody Retallick.
Okay.
Brody Retallick took over the captaincy late. Don't you find that odd when Sam Kane was still on the field?
Yeah, that is a bit. I hadn't even thought about that, Nigel, at all.
That just makes me. It just makes me wonder. I don't think this is going to be the case because I think Artie has made such a great impact as a seven off the bench. He now gives you versatility as well. That if you actually wanted to, well, you could take Jerome Kano off, switch Kieran Reid over to number six, play Artie at eight. If you wanted to, you could switch Sam to the blind side and play left right if you wanted as well. But I just found that very interesting to me because I would have thought of the players on that field, Sam Kane would have been the guy to have assumed the captaincy. So when they said Brody Retallick, it just put just a little siren in my ear where I'm just wondering, well, is Sam's place as open side assured?
Oh, I love you, Nige. Isn't he great when it comes to conspiracies, Kevy?
Listen, that's exactly conspiracy theory. Nigel, you're a shocker, mate.
No, that is not a conspiracy theory. Think about it. You think about the fact that Sam Kane has been an all-black captain, gentlemen. He would have been the guy. You tell me, boys, with all those players on, did you think Sam Kane was in charge? If you were watching the TV, if you were just watching it, you'd be going, oh, Sam Kane's the captain now. Isn't that the logical first choice?
It's funny, isn't it? Doesn't matter what Sam Kane does, though, Nige. There are still so many doubters out there.
He was outstanding on Saturday night, on Friday night. He was there. I think the thing is a lot of people expect the open siders to pull for ball, but his tackle count was high, his work rate around the field was good. I always judge an open side by how often you see them in the camera frame on television. Well, he was constantly in it. He was always generally one of the guys who was, you know, be the third or fourth there to be able to help and celebrate the tries that were being scored. Got a nice one himself. I think he's playing great. I've got no issue if he starts, but I just saw that and I just kind of thought that was weird. That didn't make sense to me. And that's the only reason why I make that suggestion publicly, because I would have thought he would have been the guy to take over the leadership, not Brody Retallick.
All right, boys, I'll wrap with this. I'll put it to both of you. I'll start with you, Putty. Confidence levels ahead of test number one, Eden Park, 47,684 fans. Are we confident, Mr. Putt?
Vici, I'm very confident on the All Black squad going out there being better skilled, better prepared, and better able to win the game. My sincere concerns centre on the man blowing the whistle in the middle of the park, and that will be the greatest concern. If we get that bit right and take him out of the game, then I'm quite convinced that the All Blacks will be too, not should be, will be too good.
Nige?
Yeah, I've got good confidence levels. I think what we are assured of now is I always thought we were going to have one. I think now a lot of more people will know we're going to have a really competitive test series, and it's going to get underway with a hiss and a roar. And people are always saying, well, first test is going to be their best chance. All Blacks have had a chance to shake out, shake things down. You know, the error count was reasonably low against Manu Samoa, which is what I wanted to see. I think we're going to see a cracking go, but I still have confidence that the All Blacks, as Putty points out, will have enough skill, enough confidence, and also enough big game now to be able to get the job done.
Hey, Nige, you're going to hate me for saying this, and every Chiefies fan out there is going to do it as well. This game on Tuesday night for me just feels like a waste of time now.
It does seem as though it's in the way, doesn't it?
It does.
A lot of people say the same thing about Hamilton. trust me, it means a heck of a lot where I live, buddy, and it might be in the way for everybody else, but for people around the Waikato Bay, plenty Thames Valley, they are going to be absolute taranaki. They're going to be absolutely hissing for this one. It's going to be fun. Remember what they did to the Welsh team last year when they came out here on tour and sent a midweek team down.
Oh, he's fired up today, isn't he, Putty?
Oh, I love it. But I tell you what, he's right about this, mate. Having played a few games for Waikato myself, those midweek ones were the ones you got up for against international teams. And I think they've got the greatest success record of any domestic team against them.
Mate, it's brilliant. You guys together are awesome. I really appreciate it. Putty, thank you very much. And Nige, I know you're busy as hell. Have a good afternoon. I'll see you during the week, bud.
Thank you very much, mate.
Good on you, boys. Kevin Putt, Nigel Yeldon. Love Nigel's call. Straight through Hamilton. Brilliant.